Okay, we're up to Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud. Let's go back to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud says, Yesh Davar Sheyemar Re'ezech HaDashu. There is a matter. Davar here is not to be translated. Literally, Davar means there is a situation. Davar is a very, very unique word. It could mean many different, it can have many different translations. Yesh Davar, there are situations. Sheyemar, where a person says, Sheyemar, one will say, Re'ezech HaDashu. Take a good hard look. Look at this. This is something new. Something new has come into this world. So the response, so the pasuk goes on to say, if someone will come along and tell you that something is new, you have to respond. The response is, Kvar hayo le'olamim. It already was. It's not true. It's not true. Although it may appear to be new, some new creation, a new metzias, already happened. Kvar hayo le'olamim. This already is from time immemorial. Asher hayo milefaneinu, that was from before us. Okay, let's go through first the Netudas Pasuk Yud.
A foregone conclusion that everything is already prepared by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, this man that he created the world. Everything is there. Because there is nothing Kodesh.
Exactly, that's the point we're trying, exactly the point that Kohelet is coming to make, that do not be fooled. He's telling us, he's warning us, that as the world continues to develop, there are going to be inventions. They're going to be things that are going to appear to be new, that never happened before. New, either a new a bria, a new creation, a new whatever it is. Do not be fooled. Anything that you see today already is just a continuation. Is just a revelation of what variation of what was before. The technology for everything that we have today existed from the time of Adam HaRishon. Just because today we have iPhones. And we have electricity, and we have computers, and we can put man on the moon. All of these things can be done. All of these things existed at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. It's just that we're not aware of it. We did not harness its power, its potential.
Alexander the Great had a special horse that grew up in the sky.
Right, Shlomo HaMelech had a special creature. He was able to travel very long distances in a very short time. So what? Shlomo's his throne, Kisei Malchus, Chazal described as a medrash that says the most unusual things about it. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they had technology that we don't know of? Could very well be. Could be they had technology that's been lost from us. That we don't know. And it could be that it far surpassed what we think that we're advanced. What?
The mystery of how the pyramids were built.
The pyramids. So is that still really a mystery?
Yeah.
Yes. No.
Okay. A lot of this is a hypothesis. Aliens.
That's my theory.
That I didn't hear of. Look, they say Oru in Shiras Devora. In Shiras Devora, it says Oru Meros.
Yes.
She cursed Meros. So look at the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim say that she cursed these aliens. They were aliens from the planet Meros. Meros, and she demanded a Devora, demanded that they come to our assistance, and they decided they're going to stay it out. We sent an SOS to these aliens. They decided, so she cursed them, and due to her curse, they ceased to exist. There was some war in Star Wars out there, and they. Listen, so we don't really know. But the point that even though we don't really know if there is technology that exists that has been hidden from us, or maybe whatever it is, whatever we discover today is not new. He's telling us the potential, the science was there from Ma'aseh Bereishis. It's just that it was not harnessed. It was not developed, it was not discovered, but there's nothing new in the Bria. There's no new scientific, there's no new science that will evolve.
I think it's even more fundamental than that. I mean, for example, we know that matter cannot be created or destroyed.
Yes.
Thermodynamics, right? So that's like saying, so that everything that is present in matter was present at creation.
Okay. But you know, but there are Talmidei Chachamim that tell us that there is something to evolution. This idea of evolution, which we all frown down upon, Darwin's version. Okay, so 100, everything he says 100 is not all true, but there is some understanding that over 1,000 years, a creature what?
creatures evolve.
Evolve. They change. They adapt to their surroundings. There's no question. There was even an article in the New York Times, I believe, about the snake. Did anyone see this? I saw this in a magazine that the snake has legs. Okay, four-legged snake. They found a fossil where in the fossil there was clear snakes have legs. So what happened? So it says in the Torah, Al-Gachon is part of the curse. So does that mean that opens us for a new insight? It doesn't necessarily mean that the curse that happens instant. And we all think that Hashem said to the Nachash, you've sinned. So as a curse for sinning, you're going to lose your legs. It was like a bolt of lightning came out of the sky, and the legs disappeared, and its anatomy was changed, and that's it, it's slivered on the ground. Is that what it means? No, not necessarily. What it means is, I'm cursing you. I'm going to inject into you some type of illness or some type of weakness. Well, the environment's going to change where over a period of years, maybe over 1,000 years, you're going to lose your legs. But it's not at that moment in time. It could very well be for the rest of the existence of the snake during the time of Adam Rishon, maybe until the Mabli, maybe even later on, it had legs. Look at the fossil. They found this fossil. It's clearly referring to a snake, and yet it's clear that there was a snake which actually had legs, and there's a discussion of what happened. So they have all the scientific discussion exactly how over time the legs somehow they disappeared. But Feresh Pasuk in the Torah, Al-Gachon Chaselech, the only question we have, what took so long? And the answer obviously is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu promise gives reward and punishment, it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. There's a process.
Or it could be that this is the third cycle for the earth. That's the
Bar Tanura. We're touching upon, no, that's the Taisus Yomtev. The Taisus Yomtev says that Kadosh Baruch Hu has recycled. Hashem was an environmentalist. Hashem is green. He recycled this world. He created multiple worlds, and every world he recycled, and we're built upon many layers of failures that were beneath us. That's another idea. Okay, but the point I want to make over here is that just like we know that creatures evolve, it's a fact. Okay, creatures, there is some kernel of truth to this theory called evolution. Maybe science evolves. And maybe new powers, new sources of energy, new scientific concepts evolve. Maybe we can say that there are things out there today, there is potential to be realized that did not exist 2,000-3,000 years ago. To that, it would appear that Shlomo HaMelech is coming to reject.
I think science agrees with that.
Science. We don't know anything. I mean, why?
Scientists also say laws of nature don't change.
Laws of nature don't change. But let me ask you a question. If you believe in evolution, my question to them is, if let's say you believe in evolution to the fullest degree, okay, let's say there's something called evolution where it's possible for an ape to turn into a man. Let's say, Luyutsu, there is such a thing that's possible. Let's say, we know Chazal is just the opposite.
You never said that an ape can turn into a man.
No, it's not what it says.
That within the species, there are minor changes that become prominent because of selection of the...
Survival of the fittest.
But it doesn't mean that a bird becomes a cat.
Okay, but it says that an ape can become a man.
What? Who said that?
Yeah.
That's what they say, Darwin.
He did not say that. He never said that.
Yeah, I believe he said that. I believe. A bird doesn't turn into a cat, but an ape turns into a man. Okay, but my point is, let's say... Okay, of course, we know that. That already has been acknowledged. That has been acknowledged by many of the experts that his theory is full of holes. Fine, but let's say for argument's sake, let's say there is a significant truth in this theory, and it's not necessarily a contradiction to halacha. Go look at Rabbi Meiselman's book. You know, Science and Torah. You know, a lot of scientific theories are not 100% contradictory to halacha. Let's, for argument's sake, suggest that there is a kernel of truth in this theory where things can evolve. Does that also mean the laws of nature evolve? So my question is, why not? Where do you draw the line?
Because beings are of consciousness.
So the world is not a being?
To their environment, where the environment is the environment.
Why not? Why isn't the environment also...
In response to what?
to respond to other forces that we're not sensitive to.
Right.
There's a big Milky Way. There are worlds out there. The world is expanding. Maybe there are influences over time which also causes the laws of nature to change. Is there such a concept?
There's nothing to back up that theory.
Okay, nothing to back up that theory. But I'm just trying. If you want to say that beings can evolve, why stop there? Let's say the laws of nature can evolve. Well, Shlomo HaMelech seems to be rejecting everything. He says the laws of nature don't change, and he seems to be saying beings don't change. The fundamental difference between evolving and changing. He's saying, Yesh davar, it'll happen, there'll be a situation, Sheyomar, Re'eze Chodoshu. Look, there's a new law of nature. Something, there is evolution in the laws of nature. No, it's our perception. He responds, Kivar haya le'olamim asher haya milefaneinu. It's nonsense. It's nonsense in our existence of this world. There's no such thing as a change in the laws of nature. And for that matter, there's no such thing in the change of human beings, of the beings either. I mean, how far do you, there is something called, there is that adaptation. But how far does it go? I mean, how far do you draw the line in saying that one creature can evolve into something within a whole new league? That he seems to be rejecting. Let's see the Mitzudos of Pasuk Yud. The Mitzudos, give me one moment. Okay, Pasuk Yud, Yesh Davar Im, Ki Yesh Davar Nimsa Bo'olam Asher Olav Yoymar, although it may be so, that there are things in the world, Asher Olav Yoymar Ho'ymer, that a person would be inclined to say, Re'ei, see, V'havein, understand, Shezeh Davar Chodeshu, it would appear to an observer that there is a new, and thus something new, Ho'ymer, Pen Al Yidei Zeh. And what does he mean to say? What is his message in this statement? Upen al yidei ze tachshoyv kmo shenishtana lishadesh dover ze ke nishtana gam zos shemeato yuchal ha'odim lahasig techalto ba'amal hagia. So according to the Mitzvah, this is beautiful what he's trying to do. He's trying to say, Tahir, is that when I declared in the beginning of the Sefer that it is hevel, it is futile to attempt to accomplish something materialistic in this world, because whatever you're going to accomplish in this world is not going to last, and if you feel give it over to your children, it's not going to remain by them. Ultimately, it's going to come to an end. So maybe you'll argue. Well, maybe for you, Shlomo, that was true. That was true in your generation, but in the modern world, we have guarantees. We have FDIC. We have governments. What?
Only up to a certain amount.
Only up to how much?
200,000.
200,000. Okay, so you have to take a private insurance past that.
Open up another account.
Okay. So maybe you'll think that maybe Shlomo, for you it was not true, but now a generation, a person can achieve, can work, and it's guaranteed it's going to remain. You work hard, you're going. So he's saying it's no different than the laws of nature. Just like the laws of nature, nothing has changed, and nothing ever will change. Likewise, when it comes to the amal hayigia, the effort a person works to achieve, to accomplish, nothing will ever change. Don't make a foolish mistake and think that all of your success, your materialistic success, will be given over to the next generation and will remain there. Nothing lasts forever. One more time, these very powerful words. Ko'imer, upen, and maybe. He's saying that's what
we say. Whenever there's something that...
So you're asking a question of Mishana Hateva.
Yes, I mean, a lot of times you read,
right,
you know, we're back into a situation and say, right, nature changed.
Teva has changed. So that we have to suggest is not... Yes, a really tough question, because in Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh, so that's what we have to say, those are minor adaptations. There's a fundamental difference between something new and an adaptation. I'll give you a short example. Once I had a friend who is very big in technology, and every year he travels the world. He goes to all the various conventions with all the latest advances in technology. So I once said, so he went to, over here. I also used to go years ago to the Java Center. They had, what was it called? PC Expo.
Yeah,
that's what it's called. They still have it.
Nice.
And it was very, very interesting. So I went. So I didn't go 1 year. I asked him how it was. So he said to me, it was evolutionary, not revolutionary. And then, like, everything, it's all the same old, just everything's a little bit faster. Uh-huh. Last year the cameras had this amount of megapixels. This year there are more megapixels. Last year's computers went at this speed, this year they go at this speed. But chidush, nothing new. It's all the same. There's no new technology has been presented at this convention. All the technology this year was the same technology last year. It's just better and faster. So it's the same thing. You talk about Nishtana HaTeva, it's just better and faster. It's adapted. It's slowed down, speed up according to the environment. But revolutionary, chidushim, a new technology, a new device, no. I think that's how you have to answer the question of Nishtana. The Gemara says often, Nishtana HaTeva. Okay, let's go back over. Pen al yidei ze tachshav kumotam. Pen al yidei ze. Maybe a thing like ze kumotion nishtan leschadish davar ze. Maybe you'll make a suggestion. The same way that in nature it appears that there's something new. So to kei nishtan gam ze shemayatu yochel adam lahasig toichalto. He can achieve what he yearns for. Success. Bamal haigia. My response is kevar hoya koimer. He Shlomo means to say, Al Tamin El Oime Asher Chodesh Huzeh. Don't believe those who say that there's something new in this world. Ki the MS Kivor Hoya Kazed Neshach Hazmanim Haruchim Asher Kol Echad Mehem Hoya. Every single thing that you see in nature already existed way before. Asher Kol Echad Mehem Hoya Miyom Asher Lefaneinu Terem Neladnu before we were born. Okay, so that's the interpretation of the pasuk according to the Mitzvahs. Now let's see Rashi pasuk Yud Yesh Davar. There is a situation, a davar, a matter, a situation that comes liyotcha tachas hashemesh in this olam of this world of Gashmi. Shiyomer alucha ha'omer. A person will say, "Olav re'ezeh davar chodeshu." The answer is, the response is, "Ve'enai chodesh." It's not new. Shekvar hoya ba'olamim. It already existed. She'avru lefaneinu in the days that have passed before us. Ela she'ein zichor nasod. Now, here, according to Rashi, Rashi is very, very important. Rashi is connecting this pasuk with the next pasuk. This is always his style. Rashi always likes to see the big picture. Unlike the Mitzudos that tries more often than not to break up the pasukim into isolated parts. Why? So Rashi says, you know why? It's because people have bad memories. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph says, "Ein zichron l'rishonim," because no one remembers what happened in the olden days. Either they never wrote history, or history was rewritten, right? Rewritten, or worse, they made it up. And you know, we all have our stories of revisionists. I remember my mother has a story where I'll tell you this story. My mother was one of a certain Rosh Hashiva, very big Rosh Hashiva. Now my mother was very little on the Lower East Side, so he used to take her. My grandfather asked her, "Can you take her on the train?" She had to go somewhere. She had to go, I don't know, wherever it was. And he was anyway, this Rosh Hashiva was anyway. You know, those days, the Rosh Hashiva was to travel on the subway. And my mother must have been, I don't know, 10 years old, maybe less. And I said, "Yeah, of course I'll take her." And this Rosh Hashiva always used to complain to my grandma that she's too protective of my mother. She's too protective of her. You know, you let her go on her own. She'll be okay. So he wanted to. So he took matters into his own hand. So he basically said, "You know what? You're going to go yourself, even though your mother told you I'm going to take you. I'm going to tell you how to go. You're going to go yourself." And he was very clever. He was going to go and watch her. Also was anyway going, but he was going to watch her from a distance and go, like, you know, go on a different car. So he did that. Like, he basically he stood in the back and he told her what to do, and she went. And he went into another car and so on and so forth. And then he came back and he told my grandmother, see, she, you don't have to be so protective of her. She can go on her own. So they wrote up this story. This person, he died not that long ago. and they wrote a biography of him, a big biography. I mean, they brought up all these stories, and this story somehow, my mother told him the story. My mother actually was interviewed for the book, and when they wrote this story, so for this generation, they wrote that he was such a tsunua, this Rosh Hashiva, he didn't want to go in the same car as a girl, as a young girl. So he went, so then he didn't sneeze us, he went in the other car. So my mother was so shaken up, like, you liar! I told you the story the way it is. And what kind of garbage is this? You write the story and he went, he was at Sanua, he went in this car and I went in this car, he didn't want to sneeze. This wasn't art school. So you go to see, it just goes to show, Ein Zichrein Larishainim. Okay, that's all included in the next pasuk. No one really knows. No one knows what really happened in the olden days. No one has any clue. We've totally lost touch with history, with reality. We really have no. Well, history. Well, that's what he's saying. That at least in nature, anything, any discovery you find in nature, don't be fooled to think that's new. It existed, and even though there's no record of it, you know why there's no record of it? Because people didn't want to remember it. Ein zichron l'rishonim. The earlier ones, they either don't remember, or they don't want to remember. They don't want to remember such a thing ever existed. But the truth is, there's no chadash tachas hashemesh. Ein zichron. That's how Rashi is coming to explain pasuk yud. Is the reason for pasuk yud is because of pasuk yud aleph. That's a very original insight, because the mitzudos and the targum don't say that. They don't connect the dots. Rashi does. The ein chadash shekvar hayolim. Rashi goes further. Beolim shavru lufneinu ela shein zichron l'rishonim lekach daimel liyos chadash. The people don't want to remember. That's why it appears to be new. The gamal acharinim sheyiyul liacharinu. Guess what? People, you think we've learned the lessons of not studying history? The pasuk tells us you won't make a difference anyway. You'll never record history to learn the lessons for the future generations. The gamal acharinim what?
And before Rashi says, Shakari of the Alumni Shah Rule of Fame, that sounds like that medrash where it's
in the world.
Recycle the world.
Yeah, it's true, it's right. The Ein Chadash Shekvar Haya Be'olamim. What do you mean by Olamim?
What happened in the previous
world. So you want to say that in previous world, your previous world's laws of nature were the same. That's a very interesting idea, that the dinosaur, the beings were just different. They were dinosaurs and who knows what, but the laws of nature, time, and nature were the same. That's a very interesting, and it's a controversial idea. The Tosfos Yom Tov writes it. A lot of Hasidim, they don't want to learn a Svarim. They don't want to learn the Mishnayis because they're very disturbed with such a reality. There could have been creatures.
Do they buy amber for their wives?
Do they buy amber? What's amber?
Amber is like a material that is
from previous world.
Yeah, you find
but you're saying very interesting. You're saying the Ein Chashikvar Hoya Be'Olamim. You're right. It's a very powerful word here, and it's really with the pasuk. It's the word of the pasuk. Yesh, the pasuk says Shekvar Hoya Le'Olamim, and then it repeats Vasher Hoya Milufanenu. You're right. It's a very powerful word. We want to say worlds. Olamim means worlds. Yeah, you're right. It's a powerful stuff.
You know, this is basic. You believe that Hashem Hoyav it after the night. So how could anything be new? New means something that was created by man?
No, by Hashem.
That he didn't create it?
It's not a kash. Hashem is infinite.
There's no time. So
but Hashem created this world. There's the simple understanding is that in this world it's a new world. Hashem is infinite, but the world that Hashem yesh me'ayin, Hashem created this world. But since the time of the creation of this world, nothing has changed. The Torah begins with the letter Beis, which is closed on three sides, warning us don't look back. Everything from the Beis and onward is new. Okay, we don't know what that means. How old? 7 days. The big question, which a lot of people are coming around to this idea lately. How many day creation was 7 days? How long is a day? Is a day 24 hours?
There was no sun.
So the world, the 7 days, the evolution of the world took place in a thousands of year period, the amount of time. What?
Not necessarily.
But yeah, we don't know. No one knows. No one knows. What is called time? Right.
The Rambam says?
But what is an hour? An hour. hour 24 hours. Hour 24 hours. Okay.
An egg timer. An egg timer.
Whatever it is. It's not really important for our purpose in this world. It's not really important to know what was. That's why it's Daim Elias Chadash. Very scary. Rashi, the Pasuk, the way Rashi learns the Pshat, the Pasuk is that all of the studies, all of the historians, all of the bloggers, it's not going to make a difference. We're anyway not going to learn from just like we didn't learn from history to prepare us for the present. The present will not prepare us for the future. It's exactly what it says. No one's going to remember what happened in this generation to be prepared for the next generation. And they'll say in the next generation, "Oh, Chodosh, this is a new situation that never happened before." Yeah.
I'm supposed to ignore history.
Zechari Mo Salam. You're right. Maybe it's for the Yechidim, but the Hamaynam, it doesn't seem to make a difference. Lo Yelcham Zichum Achanushil Lacharena Shalachem Medesh Agad Perish. That's Perish. Then he goes on to Medesh Agada. Darsho Kneged Ibud Zecher Amolek V'Soifer Shal Zecher Edoim. It refers to the end, the destruction of Amolek. Okay, the destruction of the remembrance of Molech, the Seifa Shal Zecher Edom, and the end of Edom, two nations. Well, Molech really is Edom. Edom and Molech are one and the same. Limchois, they will be destroyed, Shenemar, for lo yes, Sarid Lebeis Esav, there will be no remembrance for, remainder for the home of Esav. So when it says in the Pasuk, Ein zichron lori shonim v'gam lo acharonim sheyu lo yehem lochem zikaron im sheyu lo acharon. It refers to the rishonim is Amalek. They were the first ones to attack us. V'gam lo acharonim sheyu lo yehem lochem zikaron. That refers to Edom, because Edom is the reincarnation of Amalek. There will be no remembrance for them. They will be destroyed. Im sheyihiyu lo acharona, with that will be at the end. When Mashiach will come, and the survivors, those that will be lo acharona, those that will live to merit the days of what will be at the end of days, they will be, at that point in time, there will be no remembrance for two nations, for two different, for Amalek and for Edom. This is Rashi's Medrash Agada in Pasuk Yud. He jumped ahead the Pasuk Yud Aleph. So
the Arabs included in this?
What? Doesn't say.
No.
Yeah.
There's different ways with it. For example, another version is that the Rishonim is Mitzrayim.
That's a different Medrash. I know. I saw that over here. I have the Medrash here as well.
You can go
right.
The because the Pasuk says Rashi's Goyim.
The end is a day of eight. They're going to be destroyed.
So you can call them Rishonim, I guess, and I guess you can call them out.
Well, that point, they were the first. They were the Rashis. Ein Zichron Lo Rishonim. Right. So Rashi, I know, you're quoting a message that talks about Mitzrayim, Sisra, goes through many different, that maybe I'll go through in a moment. But I just want to take Rashi. Rashi at face value, we have here the Pasuk Yud Beis, we jumped ahead. Ein Zichron Lo Rishonim. Medrash Agada, who is the Medrash Agada? It says only two nations. Kineged Ibud Zechra Mole. The Sefer Shal Zecher Edom. Limchois, those are the two nations, they will not be around with those that will be in the end of days. Okay, very interesting Medrash too. And what about Yishmaelim? What?
You have the source there?
Am I? No, it does not. It just says Medrash Agada. No, it doesn't say any source. You have a source in yours?
One I just told you.
But that has more. The one that you have has also Mitzrayim, has Sisra also. Sisra? I think
it says the Mitzrayim.
I saw one that had a lot of difference.
In here, the Medrash Agada says Koheles Rabba Aleph Lamed.
Ah, okay, Aleph Lamed. Is that what you have in yours?
No, it's much further. That's Posit Lamed. If there's a Posit Lamed.
All right, Rashi, whatever, he just quotes, he puts these two into the pasuk. Yes, very question. What about the Ishmaelim? What's going to do with them? I don't know. Tough question. There is such a chazal that says that Yishmael will do tshuva. In the Torah, we find that Yishmael did tshuva, but we don't find in the Torah that Esav did tshuva. Where do we find that he did tshuva? At the burial of Avraham Avinu. It says that Yitzchak went before Yishmael. And Rashi on the pasuk, where were parshas that? It's parshas. Alright, Meski will tell us in a second. And the Chayasar, maybe? And the Chayasara? So it says there that when Avraham died, Yitzchak went before Yishmael. And Rashi says, he's the older brother Yishmael. He let him go. Mikan, he did tshuva. Besof Yomov, at the very end of his life, he did tshuva. He recognized that Avraham is the Yoresh. Ki bi Yitzchak, he recognized ki bi Yitzchak yikorei l'chazara. He let him go first. And from that, Chazal were very quick to come in. I don't know if this is a Chazal, if this is a Medrash, or this is a later Chazal. They come and they say, Maisa of osimil banim, just like Yishmael in the lifetime of Yitzchak did tshuva, when Mashiach will come, Yimos HaMashiach, Yishmael will do tshuva, and will acknowledge that Yitzchak is the Yoresh, and will let Klal Yisrael go in front of them. They'll put down their weapons, put down their arguments, their mishigasim, their narishkeit, and their insanity of claim that we have no claim to Eretz Yisrael, and will acknowledge. Klal Yisrael, after they lose. Whatever. That's an amazing chazal. Now, contrast that with Esav. You don't find anywhere in the Torah.
Esav's head rolls into the cave at the end.
It rolls in, but not when he was alive. Adrabah, to his dying day, he said, I'm the Yoresh. He didn't let. He did not let Rachel into the Maris Machpelah. Yaakov. When Yaakov came, he said, there's not enough space here. You already used up one kever for Leah. And that's it. There's not enough space here. This is for me. And so you see, to the very, very end, Esav rebelled. So Ma'aseh was similar, but Esav will never give in. And that's very interesting, because who is more civilized between the two? We think that Esav. Esav is the next generation. So you would think that the one that's more civilized, the one that has more chokhmah, would come along and would be acknowledged that Klal Yisrael is the Yerush. Ki bi Yitzchak yikarei l'chazar Yitzchak v'lekol Yitzchak. And yet, it's very fascinating. In the Torah, it was Yishmael who did tshuva, who acknowledged at the end, and not Esav.
Yishmael had sort of malach, and he didn't.
Yishmael, when did Yishmael see the Malach? That was Hagar. Okay, I don't know, whatever it is, it is. But it does answer the question. Your son asked the question. So Hakam over here, it says over here that Ein Zichron L'Rishanim V'Gan L'Achlim She'yu Lo Yelam Zichron Shilachorayna. There's not going to be Zichron Molek, no Zichron Fa'edim. And what about Yishmael? In Achanami, it could very well be that Yishmael will be allowed to exist at Yimos HaMashiach, just like in the Torah, he did Shuvah. But Esav never did tshuva, so he has to go. It's a very telling insight into where the world is heading in these very turbulent times.
Where did the billions of Chinese come into this?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Everybody
asks. So what do you ask? What does he say about Reisman?
Do with anything.
So what does he say about Reisman?
What
does he say about Reisman? Does he have an answer?
No, that's the answer.
He doesn't have an answer?
No.
He has an answer for everything. No, he must say something. It's I don't know. The whole, so how many billions of people are there? How many billions of
which? 1.3.
Who do they come from? India is what? 1. How many billion? 1.3. China. India is growing.
10-20 years.
It's amazing. We'll surpass China, India. I don't know. It's amazing. It really is. I mean, what? How do we relate to them? It gives new meaning to the pasuk Ki atem hameat mikol ha'amim. When you look at their numbers, America's only 300 million people, right? That's it. A little bit more already, right? 310 million people. It's nothing connected China, India, mamish peanuts, and Klal Yisrael. So we're not even. What are we? 2% of this country? Not even. Talking about even non-religious Jews. Most of them, 1.2 million, don't have anything to do with the others altogether. No religion altogether. But how many Orthodox Jews are there in this country? Orthodox Jews, very small. Less than 100,000?
No.
Orthodox in the United States. How many Orthodox? How many Orthodox Jews?
When you're looking at
a few hundred thousand?
Yeah.
A few hundred thousand? That's a big number. I don't know.
What's the total Jewish population percentage?
The total 2 million. I think 2%. Tell me, like less than 2%?
2% is practicing Orthodoxy.
Very small.
2%?
The Pew poll. I have to go back. Last year, the Pew poll released all the statistics. They said that 3 out of every 10 people who claim they're Orthodox also claim they're Baalei Tshuva. So three out of every Baalei Tshuva. 3 out of every 10 is a Baalei Tshuva. It's pretty good.
No definitive answer. I think I mentioned this once before. The American Jewish Yearbook every single year says the Orthodox population is 10%. That's not possible.
Not possible.
We're growing and they aren't. So either you have to redefine.
Yeah, all right. You know, there's a website. There's a website called. Are you familiar with a website called Yeshiva World News?
Yes.
Okay. So this is like a Haredi. Like if American English speaking Haredi, they're a very popular website. So they told me. I'm making a mistake. I don't remember right. Is that they get in a month 300,000 unique visitors.
Doesn't mean it's Jewish.
People do searches for information, but that's a very interesting statistic. 300,000. If you're familiar with the website, it's a very right wing. It's a very right wing English speaking, you know, Anglo. What? The Vasis Nais is a very problematic. They have a lot of Lashon Hara on that website. They have news. It's a news website, but listen. There's no shear to the website. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about something. People who claim they're acting in the rules of the Chofetz Chaim. Let's say people who claim that we follow an Orthodox Torah Hashkafa and reporting news, whatever that means. So that's a very interesting number. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean there are 300,000 Orthodox Jews? No, I don't think so. What? More or less? That means that 300,000 people are interested in knowing what the Orthodox community is going through the degree when they go to this website to check out the news? It's interesting. I don't know. Okay, it's interesting. But this question over here is a very interesting question about Yishmol and that Rashi here alludes to. Now let's see the Targum. Pasuk Yud. Targum Pasuk Yud. Is Piskam. The Yemar Enosh, there are situations. Piskam, again, is always that. It's a very beautiful word, Piskam. There is a situation. The Yemar Enosh, people say, Chazi Dein Piskam Chadas. Look at this new situation. They make a statement. Look, there is a new situation. And the response is, Hu Ho Kivar Havo Le'olmin. It's nothing new. The response is, it already existed. Le'olmin Biyoyme Doraya. The Havo Min Kadmas Dinah from the days of the generations that were before us. The Targum really is not saying all that much. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ein Zichron Lo Rishonim Vegam Lo Achrim Sheyu Lo Yelam Zichron Im Sheyu Lo Acharon. No, there's no remembrance for the early ones, and there's no for the later ones. Sheyu Lo Yelam Zichron. Im sheyiyu lo acharona, that will be at the future. So we already learned Rashi. Rashi explained that Pasuk Yud is just an explanation for Pasuk Yud. The reason why people don't remember, they appear as if something is new because they don't have good memories. And according to the Peri and then the Mereshagoda is very beautiful. Now he takes this, he makes it into past, present, and future. The Rishonim is the past. The Acharonim really is the present. Right, Acharonim Sheyu means relative to the past. The Acharonim is the present. That's Edom. Im Zikron Im Sheyu Lo Acharona is the future who will remain. So it's really the past, the present, and the future.
Sounds like someone with a love song. First memories go, and then the last thing, Im Sheyu Lo Acharona, he forgets
the Rachmana Litzlan.
First memories stay. So.
Okay, let's take a look over here at we did Rashi. Let's look at the Mitzudos. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzudos, David. Ein Zichrain. Elosh. Ein Zichrain Hamasim Hanasim B'yamim HaRishonim. There's no remembrance. Elosh. There's no remembrance for the Masim Hanasim B'yamim HaRishonim. Ki Nishkechu Melibayis Bnei Adam. They are forgotten from the hearts of man. V'gam Lo Acharonim Sheyihiyu. V'gam. V'chim Gam El Hamasim HaSheyihu B'yamim HaAcharonim. Lo Yishoer Lohem Zikaron. No remembrance will remain. Ma, anything. Leman hashvoisam masma shor yu achar hazman ahu. Not that people are not going to have memories in the future. It means that people are not going to relate relative to what's coming in the future. People are not going to pay attention to what has happened at that point in time. Loimar, to say os hamasma shor nasu ato doimim heim el hamasma shor nasu meos. The people will say, listen, what's happening, but what will happen in the far future is similar to what has happened in our immediate future. You know why? Because people are not going to pay attention to what's about to happen in our present and our immediate future, relative to what's going to happen in the far future. It's very frightening because shikha is something that is a force in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that a person should forget, and that Chazal tell us is a blessing in disguise. Because if we would always remember everything, we would always remember the pain and the suffering, and we would not be able to move forward. We would dwell upon our past. They say, scientists say that most of our minds are acting as a filter to filter out things that we
remember
everything. So it's not necessarily a bracha.
You can remember, but you don't.
They say that, I don't know, there's certain names. They say that the Rogachava was like this. The Rogachava, there are certain people, you look at a building, you can out of that a blink, you can tell you how many bricks are in the building. There is sudden, it's an illness. It's an illness. Because if you can look at a building, you can see all the bricks in the building, and you can give you a number 1 second, and you're right, you can't live. You go out of your mind. Because you're taking in too much information for you to handle in a responsible way to be a participant in society. So it's a bracha that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has blocked. He put a filter on our mind. That blocking is also part of forgetting. When you forget something, it's not in your conscience, and that gives you the ability to look to the future, to focus in the present, the future, and not dwell on the past. He says, "Ki ashikha goyveres v'hoyleches." Avol b'yemesh ein davar chadosh ba'olam. Nothing new is happening in this world; just continues to cycle. Now the midrashim here we did the mitzvahs, we did Rashi before we did the Targum. The midrashim point out that the when we read this, we keep on reading this in reference to nature, the laws of nature, but the midrashim elaborate that the same is true with regard to miracles. Let's say miracles lemaila minateva, things that are unusual miracles. Every miracle that Hashem does already has its roots in a miracle that Hashem has done either in Maaseh Bereishis or in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So let's say like a Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, you have to define what exactly was the miracle. The miracle was splitting of the yam. Define whatever it is. The 10 makos. Dam, tzardeya, kinim, orav, devashchin. Trias hamesim. Trias hamesim, in our eyes, is the greatest miracle. Well, that already existed. Where did it exist? It existed by Yitzchak, Chazal say. Yitzchak, he went to the Akedah, he was already kemat, already in the other world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him back. We want to talk about that's Yecheskel. So Yecheskel, that already was already built upon. So the rules of miracles already have been established. There are miracles, but miracles are limited. Hashem will only do a miracle that already has a precedence. Because this is like a morale type of concept. Say there, Lenisim. The morale focused.
Sort of elastic clause in nature.
Elastic clause in miracles also.
Yeah,
right.
That allows in nature, in the laws of nature, that allows for a temporary suspension of the laws of nature in order to.
That's limited.
Yes.
Right. That's a very novel idea. And that's what the Medrash says. Because we think if Hashem wants to do a miracle, there's nothing holding him back from doing a miracle. The answer is no. Miracles are also limited. like the bus, limited. Oh. Miracles are limited to miracles that already have been put into this world.
The RNA Kaplan says that the Kesamason, a mist of RNA polymerases, is going to come down from Shemayim, find the loose bone, copy the DNA into proteins to make the person.
Well, you're saying something different. You're saying that Chias HaMeisim works out there from Teva. That's another idea which people are coming around to understand. That Chias HaMeisim can work out there from Teva. Right? Stem cell research, DNA, and the cloning, and all of these ideas. So let's put that aside. Then there's this Chias HaMeisim, which is Teva. But let's talk about real miracles. The real deal. The real deal is also limited. Trias HaMeisim, you know why they can be Trias HaMeisim? Because there already was Trias HaMeisim. But to do a new thing, a new type of miracle, that's how the Medrash takes this pasuk of Ein Zichron. Well, that's really going back to what the Mitzudah said about the previous pasuk. Kvar hoya le'olamim asher hoya milufaneinu.
The name Ephraim, the Lifnitz Ephraim, also,
30 years early. They made the calculation.
So they came back.
That's the
observation.
The Avichaska, one opinion.
Different
Avichaska. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum. Okay, Targum says less duchrana. Duchrana, we had that word many times. It means remembrance. There's no remembrance. Le doraya kad moin. What? The zayin
for a dalit.
So liz raya zeicher zeicher. But ain le doraya. Duchrana. There is no remembrance. Le doraya kad moin. There is no remembrance for the previous generations. No one remembers what happened in the previous generations. V'yaf levosro in the asidin l'mahavei. The generation will yet to come. It's comfort. No one's remember us anyway. What's going to happen in the future? No one's remember that anyway. Lo yehelachon duchrona im doraya dihon biyomei malka b'shicha. Here is where the Targum comes and says something novel. Sheyihiyu means at the time of Mashiach. That implies that if Mashiach doesn't come, let's say there's another generation before the coming of Mashiach, then maybe an Ochanami, when the end generation will have a record of everything that happened in the past. We keep on questioning this. Do we learn from history? Do we study out of the mistakes of history? Or should we? So here we keep on learning. The answer is it doesn't make a difference. See, anyway, no one's going to want to pay attention. But according to the Targum was saying, yes, this rule only applies in reference to the days of Mashiach. When Mashiach will come, then no one's going to pay attention to what happened in the past. But until that point in time, he seems to be saying that there is going to be some type of a memory. He does make mention of that. Okay, now, before we go further, there's a very interesting Messiah. Here it says, Ein Zichroin Larishainim. The Messiah, three times in Tanakh, do we have the word Zichrein? Anyone want to guess what the three times in Tanakh? One is Rosh Hashanah, Shabboson, Zichrein Trua. Rosh Hashanah is called in Parshas Emor, a Zichrein Trua. We actually use a pasuk to teach that when it falls out on Shabbos, you don't actually blow, it's only a Zichrein. Because you be Maver Dal Ramas for Rishus Rabim. And then we have this pasuk over here, Ein Zichrein Larishanim, this pasuk. And then the third pasuk is in Mishlei, Ki Ein Zichrein Lechacham Im Hakisil. There is no Zichrein for with the Chacham Im Hakisil. Ultimately, they will separate. Ultimately, when the music stops and the musical chairs, you take your seat, the Chacham and the Kesil will be sitting on the opposite side of the rooms, and no one's going to remember the Chacham. They're not going to be Betel. So, what is the significance of putting all of these three things together? So, you could say whatever you want to say. So, over here, I have a sefer. He writes some ideas, but one basic idea is the drush of this idea is that when you hear the shofar. Zichrein Trua, when a person he hears or he is reminded of the sound of the shofar, that is supposed to propel him to do tshuva. It's supposed to awake him to do tshuva. And when he'll do tshuva, then in zichron lori shainim, his old averos will not be remembered. When a person does tshuva, however, this message is only taken seriously by the chacham. By the kasil, the foolish person, ein zichron lachacham la kasil, he will not take this message to heart, and he will allow it to slip by him, will sled Roshana slip by him, he will remain with his averos and will accomplish nothing. So the goal is to be a wise man and to listen carefully to the shofar. It should cause an awakening to do tshuva so that there will be no remembrance for a person's prior sins.
Well, the Rambam says Lo Yilam Zikara is the last letter spelled Aman, because he also wanted
Klal Yisrael. Well, that's really what Rashi said. Rashi quoted that Medrash. Haman is Amalek, right? That there will be no remembrance to Amalek, to Haman at the end of days. Okay, now I believe there's another Medrash I wanted to point out before we go to the next pasuk. Okay, here's actually what you were referring to, Michal. Ein zichron lo rishonim v'gam lo acharonim sheyu. And the dor hamabel, the gamlo acharonim elu sidomim umitz rayim. So according to the different version of the Medrash.
Different version than I have.
Okay, this is in Medrash Kohelis Parsha Beis. So it's saying over here, Ein zichron l'rishonim, who is the ones that we no longer remember today? One more time, it's the Enish Dar Mabel. There's absolutely no museum memorializing. Think about it. We have nothing from them. The Dar HaMabel and the Dar Enosh, zero. Nothing. We don't even know how many people lived in this generation. Nothing. There's no Zikaron v'gam lo acharonim. Who are the acharonim? That is Sidom. Sidom came after the Dor HaMabel, Dor Enosh. Is there any Zecher for Sodom? Zero. And Mitzrayim.
It was for a while.
There was Sidom?
They say that the pillar of salt lasted for something.
The pillar of salt.
The Dead Sea.
Okay, but and what about Mitzrayim? They rewrote the history, right? You always talk about this. The Egyptians, they were so embarrassed of what Klal Yisrael did to them, they completely deleted the whole event.
Abba even wrote it in his book.
They wiped it out.
And it's true. If you look, I have a book, I got a secular book.
They wiped it out.
It's just gone.
It's gone. They completely wiped out the whole era. 200 years. They don't want to acknowledge it. It's mamish, a fulfillment of this pasuk. There's no remembrance for these four nations, these four periods in time of this world. Dor HaMabel, Dor Enosh, Sodom, and the Mitzrayim. That's how the Medrash learns.
Remember, it's interestingly enough, is they say that there was one pharaoh who was, as soon as after he died, he was the next pharaoh wiped out in remembrance. There was this crazy guy who believed in one God.
One God?
Yeah.
Oh, that was...
The speculation is it was Yosef that they're talking about, but they don't know. I mean, uh-huh. The time frame seems to be about right, but... You know, the dating is not exact.
It's like Nero. We recently in the Tisha B'Av, everyone's writing about Nero. Like you told me, Caesar, Nero. So the big mystery, what happened to him?
We just had something about Nero.
Yeah, they right.
So he was a Zaidi of Rav Meir.
Right, because the Gemara says, Chazal say, but they don't have any records. They have all these different accounts of what happened to him. But they don't want to acknowledge what Chazal say is that he converted. He was Nebu Zardon. Was he Nebu Zardon? Was he not Nebu Zardon? This is a big debate. Yeah. What?
We already went through this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
well, let's go.
We also discussed at one time the apostle who we had. Were taken into the greatest chachamim who wanted to do Christianity because they wanted to separate.
They wanted to isolate Christianity. He has the shirm on that, Schneer Lyman. What happened to Schneer Lyman? I never hear about him anymore. Is he okay?
He's probably doing tours.
I haven't heard him in years already. For years I haven't heard anything about him. Out of the loop. His shirm were like second to none. You see articles?
Because on the Quentin Road,
Yusfar,
so the guy who owns that store tells me
he comes
around.
Where's that? Quentin, where? Was that store?
31st. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud Beis. Let's stop Pasuk Yud Beis. Aniko Helles. Now we begin a new section. Aniko Helles. Hayisi Melech Al Yisrael B'Yushalayim. I am Koheles. Hayisi, I was. Hayisi means I was in the past. Melech Al Yisrael B'Yushalayim. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Yud Beis. First thing first. Ani Koheles, Ko'imer, he means to say here, Ani hu Ani Koheles, it is I. Don't make any mistake. In the beginning of the Sefer, it took already 12 psukim to get to this point that you're probably wondering who is the author. I say the beginning begins, well, Divrei Koheles. Divrei, it says his name? Oh, he forgot. Okay, Divrei Koheles ben David. Okay, you're right. So what does he say? Like, he forgot. A senior moment. He was a senior at this point in time. Ani Koheles. Koimer, Anihu, Aniko Koheles, Al Shem Shekobatsti. You know why I'm called Koheles? I have collected Deos and Mukhulafois, different opinions, Litzaref, to purify, to refine, Ululabain, Ulavarer, Emes, to clarify that Emes. I'm the one who giving you the truth. Ali Yisrael v'chein am chacham b'navon. I can't pull any fast one over these people. Klal Yisrael, they are the wise nation. That's this pasuk's parasha. So this, I can't pull a fast one over them. Yushalayim asher hiir hachachma uchaimer biyos kein harbe chachma ro libi. I was in the right place, at the right time, and I have a lot to say to you. Let's see the Rashi. Pasuk Yud Beis, Aniko Helles Hayisi Melech Al Kol Ha'olam. So here Rashi says, it used to be I was the king over the entire world. Then Al Yisrael Olubasof Al Yerushalayim. So Rashi is very fascinating. It's breaking up the pasuk into three parts. Hayisi Melech, Rashi says, put a period there. I was the Melech over the entire world. Then I was the Melech over what? Over Yerushalayim. Alvo Yisrael, Olubasof Al Yerushalayim. Olavad, Olubasof. Then Rashi brings the fourth thing that does not say in the pasuk, Al Makli, on my stick. Shaharei Nemar Hayisi Melech, it says in the past tense, Yerushalayim. Aval Achshav, Eini Melech, right now I'm not the Melech. So the fact that it says Hayisi, and it says Yerushalayim, implies that I'm no longer the Melech over Yerushalayim. Even that has been taken away from me. The past tense has to be applied to all three parts of the pasuk, to the Melech, to Yisrael, and to Yerushalayim. I'm no longer the Melech over the world. I'm no longer the Melech over Yisrael. I'm no longer the Melech over Yerushalayim. But I'm at least the Melech over my Makel. Now that is the biggest godless. That's the ultimate godless. Why is that the ultimate godless? Because there are people in this world who are kings over the whole world. But the problem is, if you take a close look at them, they're not even in control over themselves. They're not even in control over themselves. Their wife rules them. Their wife tells them what to do. Erne, why are you laughing so hard? What? So that's the godless is, even though I lost control, this is a very profound vart. This is not my vart. Someone told this to me once. Even though someone lost control over the world, and I lost control over my nation, over my city, but at least I'm a melech on my makel, on my stick. I have a stick. I'm in control.
This is an old man.
I'm the boss. No, but it means I have dignity. Makel means I have dignity. I'm a person. I'm in control over myself. No one tells me what to do. I'm a disciplined person. Tremendous godless. Because you can be Yoresh. You can be Yoresh Malchus of a whole country, and you're a Baltaiva. A Baltaiva and a Meshugana, and a loose mouth, a loose cannon. And you have no bias over yourself. And yet you are in charge. You have the reins of power over a whole nation. You know how dangerous that is? A Meshugana running a country, doesn't have control over himself. It's a very, very big problem. The godless of Shlomo is, even though I lost all my real power, I'm still the Melech of myself. That is the Ikar. That is what the Pasuk is coming to, according to Rashi. Okay, so I have Rashi and the Mitzudos. And now let's go to the Targum. It's a long Targum. We'll start with this Targum. Let's just go through this Targum. Beautiful Targum. Pasuk Yud Beis. Long Targum. Kat, Hava, Shlomo Malko, Yosef Al-Kursei, Malchusei. when the Melech Shlomo was sitting on his throne, Iskabali Bei Lechada, what happened? He got arrogant. Iskabali Bei Lechada Al Usei Lechada. Lechada means very much. He became extremely arrogant. Why did he become arrogant? What was the source of his arrogance? Al Usrei, his wealth. His enormous wealth made him arrogant. Va'avar al gezeras memer de Hashem, and he violated Hashem's command. What was the violation? Uchinash susavon. He went and he collected horses. He acquired too many horses. And what else did he do? Urisikin uforoshin sagiin. And horsemen, the period means horsemen and chariots and horsemen. What else did he do? Sagin very much. Utsavar kaspan, he collected wealth, money, with the silver and gold. Sagin lechada very much. Ve'ischatan ba'amimin nuchroin, and he married women from other nations. Min yad tikaf urugzeda Hashem Alohi, until to the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry. Miyad means right away. So miyad over here means minyad, means immediately. After he did these three things, he acquired too many horses, he acquired too much wealth, he married women from too many wives. Minyad, immediately, tikaf rugzeid Hashem Alohi, Hashem got angry, vishadar levose, Hashem sent to him, Ashmedai. Ashmedai arrives in the palace.
Shouldn't it have been after wife 19?
Why did it take so long?
18 was the maximum.
Was the maximum.
So it's not immediately if you wound up with many, many more.
Why did it take so long? I don't know, maybe he could have done tshuva. Maybe there was still, maybe he would have, Hashem gave him time. Okay, Ashmedai Malka. Dishadei, Ashmedai is the king of the demons. Utirad Yosei Mikursei, he removed him, he pushed him off his throne. Mikursei Malchusei. Unital Gushpanke Minyide, he took the Gushpanke, means the scepter, the royal scepter. Begin the Hadidihoch Metal, begin Dihoch Metaltal. And then he took his chosam so that he should be a wanderer. Begin the Hoch Metaltel the Goleba Oma, so that Shlomo should be a wanderer from place to place, Leoicha Husei, to give him Musar, to rebuke him for his, to chastise him. The Hava Mechazer al Karche Pilche the Karche Arad Yisrael, and he would travel from city to city, from place to place. Bicha the Yisrael, Bicha Ufigan. Bicha Ufigan means here and there. He would cry. Bicha, he would cry. Bacha means he would cry. Ufigan, and bring forth sounds. Va'amar, he would cry and scream, and he would tell people, "You know who I am? I am the king." He would walk into the supermarket, the ShopRite. He would say, "I am the Melech Yisrael," and they would say, "Call an ambulance." My name was, I was called Minkan Master Noah. I've always been the king. I was the king of Yerushalayim. This is what he would say. So
in other words, he wrote Koheles
afterwards. It has to be, I came back only for 3 years. It was only Hevel is the Gematria 37. He was king for 40 years, but when he says Hevel, Chazal say he was king for 37 years. Three of the 37 years he was a wanderer. So this was the punishment. Niko Halus, so this Pascal here, they really, so elaborating upon Rashi, just telling us the story, and it's telling us the story that Ashmedai was allowed to depose him because he sinned against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What was the sin? The time was very precise. It was arrogance. Gaiva. And what was the source of Gaiva? The Gaiva was seen in the fact that he violated the Torah in respect to wealth, horses, limitations of the Malchus, and he lost the Malchus, he was deposed, and he would run around the whole world telling, "I'm the king," no one paid any attention to him. Now, you know, it's interesting, we all know that the Gra, there's something called a self-imposed Gullus. Okay, it's a very interesting idea of yourself. Where does it come from? Maybe it comes from Shlomo HaMelech. The Gra brought upon himself a self-imposed galus. Where basically he what, right?
I mean, he didn't exactly want to be in galus.
He didn't want to be in galus. He did it on his own, was told him to do it.
It was a technique of
Musar.
Shlomo
was taken, right? Shlomo, and he went, and it makes it that he went, he was a wanderer, and he was a wanderer from place to place, and he learned a lot from the experience, he says. He learned from the experience.
He was still trying to get back.
So there were Gedolei Yisrael that did this. There were Gedolei Yisrael, namely the Gro. The Gro is the most famous. They picked themselves up, and they just went with no money, nothing, just to go out into the world and to see what it's like.
Did Rashi also do it?
I don't think he did it to the same degree. Rashi would go from shul to shul, and he would put down his kuntresim on the table, and he went and said, I don't know. But it is very degree for him. What? Well, he had no choice.
And compared to David HaMelech, who was more consistent throughout his whole life.
Well, David HaMelech was on the run. David had a very rough life. He was running away. Avshalom wanted to kill him. He was also running.
The battles from the beginning.
He had a lot of problems, though. But this is a very interesting idea of being a wanderer in Galus, where you're not recognized and you have no parnasa, and. David was in Galus because of the rebellion. They wanted to kill him. But here is a different kufa. Here, no one is actually harming you. He's not. There's no threat of life. David was always afraid for his life. No, here Shlomo is walking around. No one's killing him. No one's trying to kill him. Just no one appreciates who he is.
He was a
marked man. Hashem said the animals are no longer afraid of you. It was a dangerous world those days. There were wild animals all over the place. He could be eaten up. So he was in Galus. He was afraid for his life. Cain was afraid for his life. Shlomo was a wanderer. He was not afraid for his life. No one was trying to harm him. But yet it was torture not to be appreciated. Look, Choni Hamagel. Choni Hamagel fell asleep for 70 years. He woke up. And he said, I don't relate to these people. This is a new generation. They all have iPhones. They all have internet. And this is not my world. And he was mispalo that Hashem should take him. What? Exactly. They didn't believe who he was. They didn't know. They appreciated. Even if they did, I think at the end they didn't know who he was. They did finally come around to appreciate. But they still. It's not my. You hear people always say this. You hear older people when they look at, they open up the newspaper. I was once sitting with an older person. That's not even such an older person. He was going to the flapless Jewish journal. I told you the story once. He was going through page by page, and he was making litzanis, and he's saying, "Oh, I know him. I could tell you a story about this guy. That will be. Oh, they're honoring him. Oh, I can tell you a story about him, him and him." He goes through page by page, and then he closes. He says, "It's not my generation. This is not my world. It's not my generation. It's a different world. I don't relate to this. This is not where I belong." It's very sad. It's very sad. And that's Shlomo. And Shlomo, he learned. He grew from this. And the Gra brought this upon himself. Actually, someone did this about 3 years ago. They wrote him up in one of these magazines. He wanted to see if he can go cross country, even across the world, one or two different people, to travel across the United States with nothing. And to see, to go from Chabad house to Chabad house. To go from shul to shul to get someone to take you in. And he did this for a long time. And he as a social experiment. And he wrote it up. And it's an amazing experience that what you learn about Klal Yisrael, you learn about the Chesed, you learn about, you see it from a, you see Klal Yisrael from a different perspective. And L'chayr comes from Shlomo. He's, I think, the first one we can recognize who's running away without a threat for his life and grows from the experience.
I'm not hoping for a smart people. I'm their king. I must be. They think I'm somebody. If they hold me for a king, then I'm my credentials.
I have your handout. One page. I pasted it all together to today.
Well, you don't want to come with me?
Mark is scheduled for surgery tomorrow. He hasn't found that. It's not confirmed that they'll do it pending test results. Scheduled for a major operation tomorrow, which will involve quite a bit of recovery. Hopefully, it will go well. Two things. One is, I'd like to dedicate learning tomorrow to him. Maybe you write down the names on it.
Anyone know this guy, Long?
Ben Hadassah.
Is he going to Queens Fest to see him?
No, he's in Manhattan.
Where's
that? But
I know what that is.
You knew about this in his
new name? Well, this came up a few weeks ago. They saw this thing that they had on an MRI. It's a big deal. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
I forgot. What's the last name? I forgot the last name. What's the last? I forgot. Yeah, I'm sorry. No.
I don't know if people in Oregon know about it.
Do you want people to know?
Huh?
Do you want people to know?
It's not my call. Whoever Mark told already told.
Certain things.
But there's a lot going on in Eretz Yisrael from our side. Everybody's going to know at some point. Also, if they say he's not ready yet, it'll be another couple of weeks of waiting in suspense. So, I can see what happens.
What do you do?
The wait.
I had a
torn meniscus. Okay, of course.
People can see the building, see the bricks. There's a story. It's with Chavetz Chaim, and either the Briskerov or Reb Chaim. So somebody came over to Reb Chaim and says, he doesn't understand. He says, throughout the Gemara, most of the shadows are lo yivsha. I'm answering this. Three quarters of the book. So it's time. He's going home. He changed to Rabin with somebody else. And Chofetz Chaim is right. Each one was happening in entire shots to figure out is it a Bible issue or not. Brilliant. Very brilliant. The Brisker, I don't know who it was, Brisker Rav Chaim.
Wow.
He was able to see it in an instant. It took me hours to figure it out.
The whole shot.
The only doctor that's good is the one that
puts
up. Oh, yeah. Woody, which doctor is that?
Just the page, yeah?
We have projectors, but
whole summer.
I don't know how much I'm going to do this. I'm not really happy doing this. You have ideas? Tell me, give me ideas. What else we could do?